Now I'm joined by Paul Ramsden, who is the CEO of Carers Choices. Carers Choices is a specialist local charity supporting unpaid carers through offering advice, information and first-class services. And you can find out more all the W's carerschoices.org as well. So thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Have you got a cup of tea? Not too bad?
It's lovely, actually. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's nice.
We were talking about you have been to the other station that we won't mention. So my challenge will be from here, if you do go again, just try and see if you can steal a mug, because nobody's managed to do it yet.
I will endeavour to do that for you, Michelle.
No, so we're not stealing it, maybe borrow it would be the thing. I won't tell them it was you that gave it to me. Thanks for joining. We're going to talk about Craig Clark, who is doing fundraising for you. But can you tell us first of all about Carers Choices and the work that you do?
Yeah, we're, as you said, we're a specialist charity. We look after carers. We provide the invaluable support that they need. So just to be clear, carers are people that look after a family or a relative that's got some kind of disability or illness. And, you know, they do a fantastic job. The economy wouldn't survive without them. And they need support. They need the advice information that we can provide for them. But they also need one of the fundamentals that we offer is respite. So respite in different sittings, in the house, in different centres and everything. So we provide those sort of services. And we've been doing that since 1981. So we're not a little startup company. We've been around a while. And, you know, one of my challenges is to be able to expand the organisation to meet the needs of carers. More and more people are becoming carers because people are living longer and there's more things to be caring for, actually. So they do an invaluable service and we're there to support them, really.
It is one of those things when you're looking after somebody, whether they be elderly or they could be a young child or somebody's got a disability, it is 24/7. And it doesn't ever stop. You're there all the time.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, until you're faced with that situation, you can't really believe it. And, you know, we have a lot of supporters. We have a lot of people. And, you know, and then people move into this care and responsibility. And, you know, we talk about it. But until you actually do it, you can't really, you know, understand, you know, the intensity of it. You know, when we've got carers and we support the people they're caring for. So we've got husbands who don't have a minute to themselves, you know, because, you know, their wife, unfortunately, you know, is living with dementia and follows them around constantly. You know, they don't have a minute to themselves, and that's why respite is just so invaluable to them, you know, just to be able to give them 6 or 7 hours, you know. And unfortunately, you know, we talk about perhaps nice things they might want to do. They might want to join, you know, the ornithology club or some other things. But often, it's just a bit of peace and quiet. It's to try and catch up on the chores around the house. It's to go to the bank, to the post office. Mm. And then things that we take for granted, you know, going to the dentist, going to the doctors when you've got a slight illness or an ailment. You can't do that when you're 24/7 caring for somebody.
Mm. Do you find that people sometimes feel embarrassed to come and say, I need help, because people think that they should be coping? It's their job to look after their parent or their child, and they think, well, I don't, you know, why should I get, you know, any time off? This is what I do.
Absolutely. The biggest problem you've got is that often this care responsibility creeps upon you. It develops over time, and you see that as your natural responsibility, and not being able to do it brings this enormous amount of guilt, and so you don't want to reach out, and so you do want to cope, or you want to try and cope, and you want to tell everybody you're coping as well, and that's so difficult because you've got, you know, friends and family trying to help as well, but because you've got these enormous feelings of guilt that you just don't want to admit that you can't cope. And then what happens is, unfortunately, something happens to you as a carer. You might just trip up, you know, you might get a bit of an illness, you might get a winter cold, and all of a sudden you can't care for that person and you move into crisis. And the problem then when you're in crisis is that you make bad decisions. Everybody does. It's not carers. Everybody, when they're in crisis, makes bad decisions, you know, because you can't cope. And we're trying to get the message across to people about, have those conversations earlier with us, find out about us. But one of the problems we've got is that until you move into that care and responsibility, you might hear this and think, it doesn't apply to me, you know, and just think that actually at some point in your life, there is a good chance that you will have some kind of care responsibility, you know, and that's the time to have a conversation with us, to start looking at what services, what help is available, what we can do in relation to getting you in touch with, you know, the authorities, you know, be it the county council or the unity councils, and look at whether you're entitled to assessment, your person you're caring for is entitled to assessment, when that is, and what the range of services could actually support you in the future. And don't just try and do it alone. So
if people come to you, the first thing, you, if they say, I'm looking at maybe an elderly parent, and I'm there 24/7 and their mobility is not very good, or they can't get up the stairs, you would look into possibly helping, maybe. Is it with carers that some carers can get, if they're not doing additional work, they can get a certain amount per week for looking after somebody? Is that something else that you...
there's a whole range of... benefits depending on your circumstance. Some are means tested, you know, like you say, depending on what your work is, and some aren't. Everybody's now entitled to a carer's assessment, you know, and you know the councils are actively looking, you know, for carers, you know, because the proportion of carers that they reach out to at the moment is so tiny. So everybody's entitled to assessment. The person you're caring for is entitled to assessment, and that opens up the doors to a range of benefits that they're entitled to. It is a minefield, you know, and there are organisations, you know, such as yourself and others that are there to help. The biggest thing is trying to find somebody to navigate you through that, and that's a service we offer. We try and do that, and as our name says, at the end of the day, it's about realising that there isn't just one track. There's a range of choices available to you, and we want to open that up and say, this is what you can do. These are some options available to you. And these options available now... that might not suit you. You might think, okay, I can cope at the moment, but you just need something in the bank. You need to think that in a week, a month, you know, a year's time, that these are the things you can tap into. So I say, just reach out earlier than later.
My friend, I have to say, she is a carer, and she works privately, and she's got a couple of different clients. One of her clients has actually got dementia, and the family pay privately, and she said, I'll go there for the first, take her out for the first afternoon. She said, but I know once I've been there for a while, then they said, could you come twice a week? Because her husband said, when she goes out of the house with you and you take her shopping, when she comes back, she's a completely different person because she's had that break. Because I'm there 24/7, so just for her, I mean, that's obviously privately, but not many people can afford to do that. You know, if you're taking somebody shopping for 5 hours and you're going out, you're having lunch and you're going out to different places, it's an expensive business. But he always says when she comes back, it's like she's a different person because she's happy.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you have to look at it from a point of view that two people stuck together 24/7, you know, it's not a good recipe. You know, you need that separation, those different interests and everything, you know, and we offer those services. We do the services in the home, so we take people out, and as you say, it makes a huge difference, but we have the day centres as well, especially for dementia. And the things that we can do, you know, with the staff that are professionally trained, the stuff that they can do to stimulate and engage with people, whatever their condition, is so much more than you can do as an individual. I always say that, you know, people, back to this guilt thing, you know, you think that you should be able to cope and everything, but you've not been trained, you've not been prepared for it, and you get yourself into all sorts of problems. You know, the stuff that we undertake for the staff in relation to understanding conditions, but, you know, the health and safety, the first aid, the manual handling, the amount of people that hurt their backs because they're lifting inappropriately because they don't know any different. You know, we can do all those things in a professional environment, and you're right, you know, that the people, you know, act completely differently, and they're so much more engaging. They've experienced something different, you know, and even if they can't communicate that, there's something different in their lives, and that helps their relationships.
Yep, definitely. And I just have to say, very good morning to Belinda, because she does very hard work, very, very hard work. She's very, very good as well. Now, how does it work? Is it volunteers who are with you, or are people? How does it actually fund itself?
Well, we've got a mixture of paid staff and volunteers. It's about half and half. We've got about 30 staff. The majority of those are part time. There's only a few of us that are full time, and some of those people, their hours vary depending on what their work they're doing, you know, especially out in the community. And I say then we've got a range of volunteers that help us in the office, also help us in the various setting, you know, the young carers in the different centres, and also working in our charity shops. And that sort of leads to the revenue. So our services, when we're working in the community and working in the day centres, then people pay for that. And they pay through a variety of means. It's, again, back to their choice. You know, we can help them to source funding for that. In other circumstances, people don't want to do that. They can fund themselves. So we have a service of pay through that. We have the Young Carers Service, which is a free service because that's funded through the County Council. But then we supplement our income. So we supplement our income through donations, through making applications to things like Children in Need, through Comic Relief, and we get a revenue stream. So we get money from the charity shops through people donating their goods, their clothes that they don't need anymore. We sell those, and that provides another income stream to the charity. So generally speaking, we get probably about a quarter to a fifth of our income comes from other places, so through grants and voluntary donations. And people do some wonderful things for us. You know, I got a cheque just this week from somebody who'd found a tea set that they no longer needed. She put it into the auction, and she got £82 for it in the auction. You know, after the auctioneer's fees, obviously, I think we got a cheque for £65.
Yeah.
And it's just these, you know, dribs and drabs, you know, and the Rotary Clubs are fantastic. They support us. So, you know, one of the Rotary Clubs in the Basildon Rotary Club has just given us a cheque for £500, which will pay for drama classes for the young carers.
Yeah.
So we have all these little bits and pieces that all come together to be able to make us sustainable and to keep doing the work we're doing.
And we must remember, as you said, young carers, because we always think when somebody's caring for somebody, they're going to be caring for their parents or, you know, caring for their children. But you do have a lot of very young people, teenagers, that are looking after their own parents or their siblings, etc. So they do a fantastic job as well. And that's just when you think how much work an adult has to do, for a child to take that responsibility on is a lot.
It's quite frightening when you look at some of the things with young carers, and there's a lot of work to do in Essex to do with young carers to try and reach them, because I think at the moment, you know, we're grabbing at low hanging fruit. It's the ones that can actually come to us, you know, and not denigrating anything to do with their, you know, what they're faced with, but I think there are some real, you know, issues and some real some cases in Essex that we need to reach out to. But when you look at the young carers, you mentioned about the teenagers, you know, we take young carers at the moment from 8. Recently we've become aware that there are young carers that are 5. You know, that when you start to think about, you know, things that you teach your children normally, and actually, you know, carers, young carers in that situation have been taught, if something happens to mum, you know, what do? They get the medication, you know, they reach out to the telephone, they learn how to dial 999. It's one of the first things they do,
yeah,
you know, because of the situation in the household. And you track that through their, you know, educational career. And obviously, they're just not going to attain what they're able to attain. Mm. You know, they're not going to come out of school because they've spent so long having this care and responsibility, which is a practical burden, but also an emotional burden on them.
Mm.
They feel out of it. There's often cases of bullying at schools because it's not the norm to be caring and having to disappear off and to always thinking that you're, you know, the next thing you've got to do is you've got to go home, you've got to cook tea for the rest of the household, you've got to look after mum, she might be having a bad day, or whoever it else is caring there. It's a huge responsibility, and I think at the moment it's overlooked, and they don't get the same sort of opportunities that carers generally get, actually. Mm. You know, and we do our best. You know, we are working with the county council, and we run groups both in Castle Point and in Basildon at the moment. And it's fantastic to see what you can get by bringing them out of that caring situation. You know, giving them opportunities like that they should have as normal children, and just little things like we do a cooking project. You know, teaching them how to eat healthily, to be able to cook healthily in the home rather than have takeout meals as well. Mm. And what it does for their confidence. If you see them and they can make a meal, mm. and I've seen them firsthand, you know, given a few ingredients, you know, can't cook, won't cook sort of situation, given a few ingredients and create something. And, you know, and I've tasted it and said, actually, that's really nice, mm. you know. And what it does for their confidence, that's fantastic, actually.
I think a lot of the time people don't realise the help is out there, because if you are caring for somebody, you just think, where do I go? Because you know you've got to go through hoops of filling in forms, then you might have filled in the form incorrectly, and then it comes back and you've been rejected, and you think, oh no, I should have done it this way. Because it's always difficult to get money out of government if you're due it. And that's why if you go along to see you guys, you can say, this is how you need to fill things in, this is what we can apply for, did you know about this? Because most of the time people are just absolutely oblivious. They don't know that the help's there.
It is.
If you try and do it yourself, you'd be there for forever. Yeah.
It's a complete minefield, and of course things change all the time.
Yeah.
So you know, it's and you know, that's what we do. We keep up on top of it, and we have the contacts and everything, so we can help you try and navigate through that situation. You know, our biggest dismay, I think, is when people said to us, "Oh, I didn't know about you. Mm. If only I'd known about you 6 months ago or a couple of years ago." And that's the biggest thing. You know, our biggest challenges is around, you know, getting people to know that we're there and what we can do to help them. Mm. And as we say, we deliver a range of services. And if those services are useful for you, then you take them up.
Yeah.
And if they're not, it doesn't matter. You know, if we can help you in some shape or form, that's what we're there to do. That's what we are as a charity, is to support carers. You come in as a carer, and then we will help you as best we can, actually. And say, if it's about accessing funding, you know, we'll do whatever we can to help you get that funding.
Now, Craig Clark is running the London Marathon, which I just can't. Is it 26 miles, isn't it, the marathon?
It's something like that, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
No. For carers' choices, that's in memory of his grandparents who both had dementia. So how do you know, how did you meet Craig?
We got linked through one of my members of staff who used to work with a company which is also supporting us, which is IFDS, and they've made us charity of the year. And we sort of started casting the net out to see who would want to do it. And Craig put himself forward to Angela, who runs the Dementia Centre. So it's fantastic. You know, I didn't realise, actually, it's quite difficult to get into London Marathon. Mm. We've been applying for years, and eventually you jump through different hoops, and eventually we get this this thing that tells us we've got somebody, and then we've got to find somebody to do it. So the fact that Craig has volunteered to do this, and the reason why is it's fantastic, because it's exactly what we wanted. You know, we're on a big drive at the moment in relation to, you know, services for dementia clients, because we've looked at over the last few years, and we've looked at some of the services. And really found them wanting, just really found it's really poor. And this is obviously, you know, what you tend to get. You know, people, you know, towards the end of their life, and then, you know, society seems to give up on them a little bit. Mm. And we weren't really happy about it. So we said, you know what we're going to do? We went out and got some funding from some organisations. One of them was Comic Relief. One of them was a foundation called Sobel that believed in what we were talking about, and we developed our dementia centre, our Silver Birch Centre. And we set out and we just said, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to try and create something that actually you know, we think is fitting. It's something that, you know, that our friends, our relatives, you know, my mum, you know, she got dementia, that I would be very happy for her to attend, and I think it's doing something well. We also looked at the fact that said, actually, you know, there's not a lot you can do, you know, about dementia, but one of the biggest things you can do is remain active. It's about stimulation. Mm. And as we talked about earlier on, it's a case of how much can you do that just in the home setting? You need to recharge to be able to do that. Yeah. And that's what we're offering. So we've got a lovely day centre. And when I said day centre, everybody sort of groans a little bit. And it's everybody's got this idea, you know, because of what's happened in the past. And they think it's a room, television blaring on, you know, wipe clean chairs, people falling asleep, you know, and that is exactly the opposite of what we've created and what we wanted to create. We just said that's not good enough. Everybody who comes to our centre agrees. Everybody comes here and says, wow, this is so different. And so I think we're leading the charge, really. Mm. You know, we've got really nice, comfortable chairs. We've got engaging staff. All our staff are activity coordinators. They're very clear about it's engaging all the clients in there. Clients don't come to sleep.
No.
You know, because fundamentally, if clients come to a day centre and sleep, then what happens? That means they're awake in the night. Mm. So that respite that you've had, you don't get later on. You're going to be up all night and everything. So it's just about thinking about some of these things, you know, and the ideas of having the television blaring out and programmes on, you know, unfortunately, if you've got dementia, you can't follow the plot. Mm. You know, those are the wrong kind of activities, you know. And we do a lot on reminiscence, which is great. Everybody loves to reminisce.
And music as well. Do you do a lot of music? I know they've done things here at the Brentwood Centre with songs, because as you know yourself, if you're in the car and you suddenly hear a song, it can take you back to being, we're not very old, obviously myself, take you back to being 16, because you get that, and that's what happens with people with dementia. When they're actually, whether you're doing a sing-along or you're listening to music, it can spark...
It does.
Spark memory right back.
It does. We've constantly, we've got the music on in the background, and then we have some fantastic people that come, and we have an entertainer who comes a couple of times a year. We had some wonderful ladies, Ladybird group. I've probably got that wrong, but they were fantastic. Mm. They sung all the songs, and you could just see the pleasure. And you know, if I tell you, I went down there and was watching it for a little while, and we've got one lady who's, you know, it's quite acute, her dementia, and she doesn't speak. So so it's difficult to understand what you can get out of her. And they start suddenly singing these songs, and she got up and she started walking down, and then she started sort of moving a little bit to the music. Mm. And then they moved on and they started singing some ABBA songs. Well, she was mouthing all the words. She was there. You know, she was on stage and she was performing it, and it meant so much to her. Mm. And it's just those moments. You know, you see those moments and you think, yeah, that's what we're here for. We've cracked it, you know. And all the time you're looking for that with all the different clients, and just thinking, what can we do to spark that bit of interest to take them back? Because once they're back, they're so confident, because it's what they understand. Part of the problem with dementia is about, you know, the real world, and, you know, the challenges in the real world, and not understanding that, and therefore they lose confidence, they're uncertain, and it's not nice. So take them back, and, you know, to regale the stories that they did in their youth, you know, how they got married. You know, we've done a big project recently all around the royal family. Mm. And different the photos to stimulate, you know, and people recognising them and remembering things, you know, about the abdication, and, you know, and people, we want Princess Margaret up there, and they're so engaged in it. Yeah. That at those times when you go down there, you just go, are you sure you've got a room full of people that, you know, have got dementia? Mm. Because it doesn't look like it to me. And that's when we've got a success.
And it is one of those things to remember. My mum is 80, she's going to be 87 soon, but she's looking very well on it. But she says, you know, she doesn't feel any different to when she was 30. And when you see older people, it's sometimes really difficult to think that they've been in love, they've had boyfriends, girlfriends, they've done a few risque things, they might have, because they've lived a life like everybody has. But it's very strange sometimes, because you look at somebody when they're older and you get this kind of painted picture. It's all sort of, you know, oh, bless them and everything. But they've lived a life. and you forget that. Yeah. I don't, because I'm heading, as you get older, you start thinking, wow. And you don't realise that when you're in your 20s, anybody who's, you know, 30 or 40, you think they're practically dead.
Yes,
but
yeah.
as you start getting older yourself, you go, oh, wow, yeah, I can see, you can see what's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's people's reaction to you.
Yeah.
So really, as in the general population, we need to change our attitude as well towards people who are elderly.
Yes,
because
yeah.
Because they are still people, and we don't often think of them as having the lives that we have. We think they're out of touch, but they've already lived it.
Yes.
And that's why they're normally so chilled as well.
Yeah, and they've got some fantastic stories, some fantastic experiences. You look through, you know, what they've lived through as well. Mm. You know, you think about the strains of today and the problems of today, and you think, well, a lot of these lived through, you know, one or two yeah. world wars, and, you know, things go around in circles, everything. So there's a lot to take it. And, you know, the staff that I got, you know, are incredible. You know, they do such a fantastic job, you know, and that's, you know, that's fundamentally, you know, the secret. It's actually that the staff go out that extra mile all the time and everything, you know. But actually, you know, one of the reasons is because if you can tap into people and you can get that from them, then it's so enjoyable, because, you know, they're having a good time and you're having a good time. It's a circle. So, yeah, it really works.
And have you got to give out a special mention? Oh, to Ben Lacey. You must say good morning to Ben Lacey.
Good morning, Ben.
Hello, Ben. You'll be listening out there. Who is, he's a therapist. He's an ex-policeman, firearms specialist, and also does hypnotherapy as well.
I see.
Yeah,
yes,
he's very nice, very, very nice man, and always puts people in contact with other people. That's how I've got to meet you today.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. I've got to meet you, Ben, at some point, but you know, we talk about you all the time and about what you're doing and helping us. And, you know, and because one of the things we want to do, you know, as we've talked to Ben about, is that we're looking at our services in the Brentwood area. You know, we talked with the social care teams, the social workers, and somebody heard about what we were doing in Benfleet and also in Basildon, and they said, they came along and said, this is fantastic. We really need something here in Brentwood. Mm. We've got a gentleman at the moment who lives in Brentwood who drives to Benfleet to bring his wife to us, because he says there just aren't the services here. And the social workers turned around to Angela, one of my managers, and said, please, can you open a centre in Brentwood? And the challenge for us is to find somewhere to do that. Mm. So we need some premises to be able to do that, where we can kit it out and we can create the room and space. And that's where Ben's come in. We got hooked up with Ben, and it was a case of, and that's his mission now. It's looking out and finding places for us. You know, because we don't know the area as well, and it's just knowing some of these buildings, some of these rooms that we can transform and everything.
Yeah.
But you know, our service are driven by need, and we understand there's a need here, so therefore, you know, however we'll do it, we'll work on the basis of, you know, actually creating a centre in Brentwood to serve the local community and people, and make people's lives better.
Now, if you want to sponsor Craig Clark, he's running the London Marathon for Carers Choices, you can go to virginmoneygiving.com and then it's /Carers Choices Craig Clark, and I will put that up on the website. And if you want to find out more about Carers Choices, you can go to all the W's, carerschoices.org, and you can find out more there. So if you do have friends and family who are caring for anybody with disabilities, or elderly parents, or they might be young, caring for their own mum and dad, get in contact, because if they're struggling, as you said, there's respite and there's financial help as well, and you can go to one place, which is you guys, and you can sort everything out for people from there.
Absolutely. And yeah, we're an open book. You know, come and talk to us, you know, and we will, you know, help you out. If we can deliver something, ideal. If we know somebody else who can do something, you know, but we will, you know, we're all about delivery. So it's about doing something that will improve people's lives.
Lovely. Now, whereabouts are you from? Yorkshire?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
Between Bounds in Doncaster.
So I'm just trying to think, because my friends from Ooty, but I do like, I haven't been up there for ages. I do like Yorkshire.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Oh, it is.
Food. People are so friendly. I don't know if you found that when you came down. I don't know how long you've been sort of down this way for, but when I went up to Yorkshire, people were like, hi, hello. And you're like, they're speaking to me. I always found that really weird.
Yes. People are too reserved down here.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, I find it funny actually when I take my dog for a walk in the evening, and people are just so closed, and you say you know good evening to them or hello and everything, and sometimes people don't know how to react you know, because it's just a case of, I just feel like saying, just relax a bit, I'm only saying hello. You know, this, you know, so yes, I that's what I'm used to, because my wife hates it, because when I do go out, I invariably end up talking to people. So she might not see me. She's like, well, you've been gone an hour, what have you been doing? We're just talking to people. What about? I don't know.
Just anything.
We just talk. So.
And you do know what a bread cake is as well.
A bread cake, yeah, yes. Yes.
You do. We're not going to tell you what that is, but we know. Yeah. There we go. thanks so much for coming in today. Don't forget, you can look at the website, allthews.carerschoices.org, for more information. Thanks very
Michelle.
Much. Coming up to 11:52 is Amy McDonald with Slow It Down.